It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this January 6th. It was a very soggy and kind of a dangerous ride to get here to the studio today, man.
Did you kayak here, Mike?
I almost got to kayak. If I would have drove my convertible, I would have floated all the way down from the beach. Anyway, he's Ben Botham, baseball Ben Botham. Of course, he's at Seminole High School, baseball coach, bowling coach, and of course, an instructor, and enjoying your time off, my man.
And of course, girls basketball announcer, Mike.
Oh my God, I forgot. What do you know about girls basketball?
I know when to stop the clock and when to add baskets on the board.
My man. That's about it. Speaking of basketball, we broadcast Brad Richardson. He did a superb job. 12 high school basketball games, boys basketball, at Northside Christian Thursday through Saturday. Grueling, but some incredible basketball. We'll start getting some of those guys. But your man, the voice of the Seminole Warhawks.
Yep.
Is very, very good on the play-by-play.
Spectacular job. He's always great on the mic, so I'm glad you guys had a good time over there. What was it, the Sun Bash, right?
Sun Bash, yeah. That was the second annual we've done. It was the seventh annual Sun Bash. You had some unbelievable talent. Gibbs High School here in St. Pete, they played a team from Kentucky. And they only went to Western Kentucky, so I know it's all about basketball in the state of Kentucky. Sure. I asked their coach after they beat him, St. Xavier out of Louisville, and he said Gibbs would be probably the top five in the state of Kentucky in basketball.
Wow, that's impressive.
They played Blake, and it was an unbelievable game. I'll tell you what, some athletes going back and forth. So we're going to have high school today in our rowdy segment, the soccer segment with Jim Hart. We've got the Lady Griffins.
There you go.
The Lady Griffins in the house. How's that?
That's pretty good, Mike. That's a big old dragon, I'm guessing.
Well, we've got to ask Coach when we get him on. What is the definition of a griffin? Because we have a gentleman named Chris Griffin on at 11:35 to break down this mess that is the NCAA college football, the bowl games, the NIL, the portal transfer. He has litigated. And he played for Florida State. He has litigated many NCAA issues. You're going to enjoy that conversation. We can ask him a lot. I've been poring over some of the unbelievable, bizarre money that's going into these kids' coffers. And as the article that I showed Joe a little earlier, the best teams money can buy. And essentially, that's where we are, and it's the wild, wild west.
I believe it. Hey, Mike, when I was playing, all I wanted was just a sponsorship from, Kerry Hilliard's down the road. I just wanted a free.
Where was Kerry Hilliard's when you were at Savannah State?
Yeah, when I was at Savannah State.
What is that, a burger joint?
I had good fried chicken and stuff like that. I just wanted a free meal here and there, but I couldn't even get that.
Well, times have changed. You could buy that place with some of the money these kids make. We're also going to talk, of course, Bucks-Panthers. Huge game. Winning, you're in. 2-14 Panthers. If you can't beat them, it's going to be a long offseason. A lot of changes will be made.
I'll tell you what. A lot of these teams that don't have anything to play for, they always put up a fight.
Exactly.
Do or die games. And the Panthers are sneaky enough to get something done. So I'd be careful if I'm pulling for the Bucks.
Not a whole lot of confidence going into that game, unfortunately. Then we're going to talk to, we've talked to him before, you've met him, Randy Grimes, the former offensive center for the Tampa Bay Bucks back in the day. He now lives back in his home state of Texas. He played for the Baylor Bears. Randy's going to talk to us. And then, of course, we'll do a recap of the Sun Bash tournament with Brad Richardson. And then finally, our no-show, our favorite, Crazy Ray Kennedy. If we can get Ray to pick up the phone and break it down like he does, we will talk Bucks at the last part.
He needs a cup of Ray to
yeah, he does.
In the morning.
Well, and then, of course, you and I are going to talk about an issue that I'm concerned about. 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Oh, Mike, I had a great weekend. I bounced back. My best weekend of the year. I won almost all my bets. And, of course, I picked good old Michigan here.
Well, thanks to Dave, our right-hand man here. We've got the Washington Huskies represented, which everybody in this area should be pulling for.
Mike, I can't hear that again. Say that one more time.
Everybody
should. No, the team name.
The Washington Huskies.
Oh, you said Washington over here.
Washington. I'm from Iowa. Washington.
Hi, Mike. You're killing
me. Washington.
Jeez, no, I'm pulling for good old Michigan here.
I'm a Big Ten guy, but you've got local flavor.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Tech. Nice. Michael Penix, he's a local kid at quarterback. Runner up in the Heisman.
It's not hard to sway me on college sports when it's not my team, Mike. Georgia Southern's not in the play.
Okay, you're pulling for Washington then. Bet Michigan, pull for it. Are you going to bet Michigan?
Well, I was probably going to bet them. I got to.
You're giving 4.5.
What the spread is? Okay, I'm still going Michigan.
Okay, we're brought to you each and every week. All of our high school conversations brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages. The U.S. Marines are coming on board. We've got an exciting 2024. Joel Geiger's in the house. He's done a superb job shooting video for the Sunbash tournament, and all the views. We got 50,000 views in 8 days on our Facebook. So we're trending up the 2-minute sports update. So I'm excited about that. And Joel will be doing a lot more of that in 2024. And we'll be getting out to more events because the reception was superb. And, you know, as in this case, these young ladies are over here today. The parents, the grandparents, they want to see or hear their kids. And so they come to our Facebook page. And that helps us with support for all we're doing from the Peewees, the Preps, the Pros. And then our good friends at Sea Dogs Brewery. Great restaurant down there on Blind Pass Road. They support all of our collegiate and our professional conversations and the gambling. Yeah. We keep the kids away from the gambling, even though we just opened up the show and they're wondering, what kind of questions is he going to ask us today? So that's the show in a nutshell. Of course, you can hear us on our flagship 106.1 FM, WTAN AM 1340. That's in Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. WZHR FM 104.3 FM AM 1350. And WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. Up north, AM 1250. WGRO, and that's Lake City in Gainesville. And that's WDSR AM, of course. And that you can also pick us up streaming on Tantalk1340.com, RadioSt.Pete.com, and our sports channel, FloridaSportsStream.com. And we got 4 shows that are launching by the end of the month. And we're going to do the hot stove.
Sweet. Hey, I'm all for it, Mike. I want to get a sports card show going on there. There's been a lot.
Speaking of sports cards, we got a couple minutes while we're efforting Jim Hart. Talk about your set that you completed.
Yeah, finally completed the
19th. You can retire now?
Yeah, well, not quite. But I did finish the 1953 top set, got that last card, the Mickey Mantle, card number 82 in the set. Finally got that, all graded, all done. So I'm pumped, Mike.
Complete set. You know, prior to this show, we've got the great Paul Porter. He's the voice of the Orlando Magic and, of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he has a guy, I can't think of his name, he calls in all the time. And he was making some comparisons to the Mick, to Ohtani. Okay. You know, as far as
interesting,
let's just say he's a retro guy. That's all I'm going to say.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to say what demographic is because I'm an old dinosaur myself. Yeah. However, he reflects back on it. But people did love Mickey Mantle, and it's apparent the value of his cards to this day.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely carried over. It's probably the most valuable card, if not probably the number two. It kind of just depends on where you. Kind of value the Honus Wagner or maybe a Babe Ruth, kind of a rare, obscure card that really hasn't come up for market since the 52 Mantle sold for $12.6 million about a year ago. And so,
what was that number?
$12.6 million. That was
mere chump change for these college kids these days. You're college football.
And some of these NIL deals.
Oh, my God.
Just the whole series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Mickey Mantle cards are definitely some of the most beloved in the hobby. Everything from his Stallmeyer hot dog cards to his Bond bread cards to his regular Topps release cards.
Okay, before we dive in, give us a little history on that jersey.
Oh,
the Tampa Bay Baseball Club Smokers.
Yeah, the Tampa Smokers. This was one of the...
That's a cigar, right?
Yeah, it's a cigar. Yeah, going across the chest there. Because, of course, you know the history of Tampa, having the rich history of rolling cigars and a lot of the immigrants doing that kind of thing. And so the team name was the Tampa Smokers. And a lot of people went out there.
It's not politically correct in today's world, but that is a cool jersey.
It's great.
And I love the history.
If you make it out to the Tampa Baseball Museum, they have some great pictures of...
Yeah, well, we had the baseball Florida Sports Hall of Fame event.
Yeah.
And that's where you met Sweet Lou.
Yep. They have some great pictures of the manager sitting in the dugout smoking a cigar with some kids on his lap. And
not cool.
Just having a good time. So
not cool.
I'm all for it, you know. Jim Leland would probably enjoy this jersey very much.
Yeah.
So
and their life expectancy was 60. All right, now let's switch gears. We'll save that for the second hour. Let's get our Body Armor Prep Connection down at our high school headquarters here. Let's bring the ladies into the conversation. We got Jim Hart on hold. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Doing great, Mike. How are you guys today?
Superb. And we've got the young ladies that they came. I'll tell you what, this is a tough team. I'll say that. They braved their parents and Coach Dominic. They braved the weather conditions to get over here down here in downtown St. Pete, the flooding. I barely got here. The whole staff barely got here. But regardless, they did, and I'm glad they came across. And let's throw Coach into the conversation. I realized the minute I looked at him, I heard his he's got great pipes. He could be in radio. That I had met him at the draft, at the Champions Draft, up in this exact same spot.
That's right, Patrick Dominic. Is he there?
He's right here.
Yes, I'm here, Coach.
Nice and loud, like you're encouraging the girls.
How are you, Coach?
Doing great, Patrick. So glad that you guys are down there. Hey, Kate. Hey, Mike. Do you know this team? This is a sleeper team. They've had a really rough start of the year. They had some unfortunate losses at the beginning of the year. So I think that people are going to overlook them. But they're on a winning streak right now, Patrick. Is it 10 in a row now with you guys?
Yes, we started 0-5. We had lots of injuries, and we won 10 straight games. And I think that's a school record. So throughout that process, we talked about adversity. And the entire time we were 0-5, played lots of freshmen. And I would tell them, guys, we're going to get through this. Just look at the bright side. Just stay together. And it was hard. And we reeled off 10 straight games, and we beat some really good teams. Durant, Lando Lakes, I thought they were amazing teams. And Durant only lost 2 games.
Hey, Coach, we'll do a little rewind. Let's introduce you to our audience and your background, where you're from, how you got to Sickles, and your passion and love for the game of soccer. And obviously, you're the right guy at the helm during these down times and working with young ladies.
Definitely want to focus on these players because they make...
Oh, absolutely. We've got time for all this.
We are.
But people need to know who you are.
Well, I was born in Montreal, Canada, and I started playing at the age of 5 years old. It's a hockey city, Montreal, but my parents threw me in soccer, and it was one of the best things they ever did. Then we moved to New Jersey, and I went to St. Benedict's Prep soccer school, and it was just one of the best experiences of my life. It's an all-boys Catholic school, and that's where Claudio Rayner went, the U.S. captain, Greg Berhalter, the current U.S. coach, you know, Todd Ramos. So we had a lot of history.
Rich tradition.
Yeah, rich tradition. So everything I learned, I was not quite that player. But I was there, and I watched, and any chance that I got, I did the best that I could. So that influence just what sparked me to become a coach. And when we moved to Florida, I coached at a middle school called Farnell Middle School. And I turned a lot of that experience, and we won 4 county championships with the girls and 3 with the boys. So I had to coach the boys to prove myself that we can do it. With all, you know, across board. So totally we have 7 county championships. So when the high school job came up, one thing I promised the athletic director is that we're going to have great honor roll kids, and that the entire state of Florida would know who Sickles are based on our soccer experience. So what we've done is, as a coach, I did what I did at St. Benedict's, is we just challenge everyone. Right. So We're the only school that would challenge Lakeland Christian in our area, and they're a private school in Lakeland, and they're three-time state champs. And we've lost 1-0 the first time. And then the second time, it was like 3-1. And then we went to challenge Cape Coral Mariner, another state champ, and was 1-0. And we played with 12 players because it was over a winter break. So challenging the best allows us to know that we can beat anybody, we can play with anybody. So that's one thing that I pride myself in, is just playing the best of the best. And I'm still waiting on Palm Harbor. Still trying to get that together.
Well, I think that may happen sometime in your coaching career, I'm certain.
Correct. And next year, we reached out to one of the best schools in the state of Florida, 7-8 champions, Bartram Trail. I don't know if you ever heard of them. So they have a history of winning 7-8 championships. So I reached out, and she said yes, and it will be at Sickles. So those are
they're coming to Sickles.
They're coming to Sickles. So this is one of the things.
So you set your own schedule then?
We have a county schedule, but sometimes we have a lot of weak teams in that. So I try to enhance that schedule, and I don't care how we do. I just want to challenge
the strength of schedule reflects in the playoffs, correct?
Correct. So as far as rankings, you may not be ranked as high as some teams who don't challenge anyone, but we don't care. We just want that experience so we can do well in the playoffs. So 2 years ago, we won the Western Conference Championship as the top team in the Hillsborough County. And this is based on playing the best of the best. So the girls are never afraid. They just go.
They don't look afraid right now. They're going to be on the radio here in a minute.
Right. And we're led by some amazing seniors. I just want to make sure that I announce the seniors who are not here, because some are sick, some have tournaments, some have jobs outside of here. And just like St. Benedict's, we play anyone who's good, right? We don't have a seniority kind of how we play players. And we are team leading in goals as a freshman. So I just want to make sure I mention her, and she's an amazing player, Caitlin Ganeau. She's a freshman, and I don't have to hide her anymore, because everyone's going to know about. Everyone knows who she is. They just look
at a freshman.
Yeah, they just look at the tape and they double team her.
Is that her right here?
Yeah,
she's over there shaking her head. No,
she's very humble. But what other teams do? They're trying to hide their stats. They're trying not to show who's good. And we don't have to do that, because the tapes are out there. You're going to see who's good. You're going to see.
Especially in today's world.
Right.
Everybody has access, you know, to video, to content.
You can hide your score. You can hide who's scoring. You can play all those games. But
that's old school Jim Hart stuff.
Right. I think she's got.
Yes, sir.
8 games under her belt with 16 goals. But then.
Holy moly.
Then we have these great juniors that are amazing, and they're captains. So we have a couple captains here that are juniors, and they were announced when they were sophomores. So it doesn't matter what age they are. And then we have an amazing transfer from Alonzo, who's doing amazing things for us, Kylie Thompson.
Who picks the captains? The girls?
I mean, pretty much I do.
You do?
It's just based on their work ethic and who best
attitude.
Yeah, best who represents me.
Gotcha.
So that's what I do.
The glue, who happens to be the glue of the team, too?
Right.
So let's talk to the ladies. So let's start here to the left, and nice and loud. Your families at home will be able to hear this, and we'll rerun. Your name again, and the position you play. Now, keep in mind, Coach gets tired of me saying this. My office is right upstairs. I have a book up there, and it is Soccer for Dummies. So lots of times I have to figure out why I'm having the conversation, you know, what you're talking about. So what position and your name and your year?
So my name is Kylie Thompson, and I'm a sophomore. And in Sickles soccer, I play in the middle, in the midfield, but tend in, like, club and stuff, I more play outside back. And I do switch between the two in Sickles soccer, but those are mainly my positions.
So you're versatile, obviously.
Yeah.
What's will bode well for you when you go to play at the collegiate level? The coaches see that, right? What's your favorite? You're only a sophomore. What's your favorite memory so far at Sickles in competition?
I would have to say I don't have a direct favorite memory. I feel like all of the memories we make as a team, like beating all these teams and having this 10-game win streak, is like one of the great memories that we that come with playing. But I don't really have like a direct favorite memory.
Well, that response tells me why you guys are successful, because everybody has got each other's back, and you believe in the team concept.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you. How'd you get into soccer, and what age were you? And the people in your family, were they soccer people, or you just gravitated to it and have had success?
So I started playing soccer when I was like 3 years old.
Three?
Yeah.
I got to get my granddaughter. She just turned three.
I played a lot of different sports. I played gymnastics. I did a little bit of track. I've done all of that. Mainly, the thing that drew me to soccer the most was how much fun I had playing with it. I started playing at a competitive league when I was around 8 or 9 at a local club. And from there, I've just been going higher in the club, and I've recently transferred to Florida Premier, and I play there at the ECNL level. And ever since then, I've always just been in love with soccer, and I want to play in college, and I want to do all of that when I grow up and stuff. But that's kind of how it started, when I was 3 and just playing and having fun.
All right. We just got done with Christmas. On a personal note, what was your favorite Christmas present?
I got a new phone.
Well, I would say that's pretty cool. And you want to do a shout out to anybody at home? Typically try to get you to recognize the people that have supported you when you get there.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to my family. They've done a lot for me to be able to play at this level, like with all the money and effort that's being put in.
You want to name them so they can hear their name?
My mom and my dad.
What's mom and dad's name?
Ashley and Jeremy.
You got a lovely young lady here. All right. Your aspirations are to play collegiately, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wish you nothing but success. Thanks for coming down and coming across the bay. We don't get too many teams. And you're our first ladies soccer team. First ladies team to come across the bay. We're reaching out and doing more, but thank you very much for coming across. So who do we have here?
I'm Addison Riquet. I'm a junior at Sickles High School, and I play center back for the team.
So you're the old gal in this group today.
Yeah.
You're a junior.
Me and her.
Oh, two juniors. Okay. Yeah. So you got a freshman, a sophomore, and two juniors. Mm-hmm. So have you been at Sickles the entire time?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So let's talk about what position did you say you play?
Center back.
Center back. Explain that to me. Is that an offense, defense?
Center back is defense position, and I would say I'm more of a leader for the team because I can see everything and everyone on the field.
You're the quarterback.
Yeah, basically, I'm the quarterback.
That's cool.
Soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the quarterback. All right. How about your favorite memory? And you've been there 3 years. You've got more than the rookies here.
Yeah, freshman year, we won the Western Conference. And
that was coach at the helm?
Yes.
I think you're going to win a lot with him at the helm.
Oh, yeah. Last year, we were very close, too. We almost won county championship.
Wow.
We actually beat that team early on in the season, and then we lost. It was very sad, actually. We lost in the county championship. But I would say, yeah, freshman year, we won the Western Conference, and it was a really close game. It was 1-0.
I'm going to ask you, since you're junior, how has the rest of the school embraced your success? You know, because Sickles has a storied tradition going way back, you know, in the power days, football and basketball. And then they had some tough times. Now that this girls soccer program has become as successful as it has, are the students, you know, supportive of you? Do they realize what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I'm actually an SGA at Sickles.
What's that?
Student government.
There you go. You are a leader.
Yeah, so we always try to get students, you know, out to the games, and then we always in the morning we announce like the games, so like we'll say like Sickle soccer, we'll say who scored, we'll say like who we played against, and like some highlights from the game.
Well, and today's world of social media, I'm sure you're all on social media. You probably blast that out there too.
Yeah, we have a Sickle soccer account, and then SG.
You do? Okay, we'll have to get hooked up to that with our high school Facebook too. Yeah. All right. You want to do a shout out to anybody at home?
Yes, definitely my mom and dad, my parents, Todd and Linda.
Todd and Linda.
They're very supportive of everything that I do, and they always like try to make out to all my games. They always support me in anything. So.
All right. Your favorite Christmas present?
I would say I got new slippers for Christmas. I really like them.
New slippers?
Yeah.
They tried to give the old man that, my grandkids. I said, I'm not shuffling around in slippers yet, but I passed them on to someone else. Great. great to have you down here. I'm going to be following this program now that Jim has brought this to my attention. And now another junior. And your name, young lady?
My name's Aubrey Skinner.
A little closer, Aubrey, to the mic. There you go.
My name's Aubrey Skinner.
All right, Aubrey. And what position do you play?
I play usually left back.
Left back?
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's the left halfback in football. What's the left back do in soccer?
It's left defense, but they also, like, go up. So, yeah, I mean, basically I just play on the back on the left side, marking the other team's right four. And then I'll go up and play some offense, too, when we're, like, on the offensive side of the field.
I have learned so much from the young people that I've interviewed about soccer and the positions and the fun they're having. What's your favorite memory?
I would say my favorite memory is probably, like, last year we were in the state tournament.
How cool is that? Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's cool. We usually make it to the tournament, but, you know, last year we advanced farther than we ever have before, which I don't know. I don't know what it was. Do you know what it was?
The county championship?
No, the states.
State final it was. Eight.
Oh, final eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So the Elite Eight.
Yeah, but the game that we played Mitchell, was it? The Mitchell game that we won. I'd say that was one of my favorite memories because it was a really tough game, and so it felt really good to win. And that almost felt like a championship, like, in itself. Like, it felt really good to win that game.
Well, it was a great accomplishment, especially for you as a junior. You'd been there several years, and you get to seven, you know, the two juniors, and to get to the final eight is incredible success.
Yeah, winning that game meant we had advanced farther than Sickles Girls Soccer had ever advanced in a state tournament, so it was really cool.
Was the school behind you a little send-off when you guys get ready to go to state? Did they recognize you, that you were going to be in the state playoffs?
Yeah, they usually say it on the announcement.
Good,
you know,
good.
Like, for me, like, whenever I'm in, like, a class, like, whatever class I'm in, that when the announcements go off, everyone kind of looks at you, and they're like, oh, nice job, nice job.
Well, I like that, because in this world, and I think you'll agree, Coach, and I know Jim will, in this world of club soccer, sometimes the high school success and the high school teams don't get the recognition. Everybody's talking about, you know, club soccer, and you girls probably all participate in club soccer. I like to see the school pride that still gets recognized, and the kids in the school and the parents getting behind you. That's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. School soccer is cool, too, because obviously, like, you're with, like, you know, people at school don't really know about my club team because that's outside of school.
They really don't care. They don't have anything in common with that.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have any really interest in that. But with school, obviously, everyone has a little bit of pride in their school, so everyone takes a little bit of interest in it. So it's pretty cool.
Very good. Your favorite Christmas present?
I actually got tickets to go to a Duke game last week on Tuesday.
You did?
Yeah, I went up to Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, me and my dad went, and we had tickets in the student section.
So you a basketball fan?
Duke fan. Duke basketball fan.
Are you?
Strictly Duke basketball.
The Dukies, yeah. Well, that Cameron Arena is unbelievable. I've been there
really cool,
several times.
Mm-hmm.
For a young lady, that was a great experience. You must have a heck of a dad. Why don't you do a shout-out to your family?
Shout out to my dad and my mom, Jake and Cheryl, and also my sister, Malia.
Hey, Jake, next time you get some Duke tickets, look me up. I'll do some trading. all right, young lady. Well, thank you for coming down. As I said, we'll be following you closely. And now we'll go to the young lady that was over there so shy when you were giving her accolades. Your name again, please, and your position.
Kaylin Gano, and I play striker.
Okay, what's the striker?
The one that scores all the goals. They, like, the highest, like...
She scores all the goals.
I like that.
Yeah, well, you gotta be proud of what you're doing. You're a freshman, and you're absolutely tearing it up. What's your favorite memory so far? You don't have a whole lot.
I guess beating the good teams like Durant and Plant. Yeah.
Because they probably don't expect you guys to take them down. And it's frustrating for them. But now you guys are becoming a household name since Coach took over this program from a to-be-feared perspective, I would say. You think they fear you when they know you guys are coming?
Probably a bit. But like, we're not... Well, like, there's still the bigger teams that probably don't fear us, like PHU.
Well, you can sneak up on them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the beauty of that. You guys are the underdogs, you know, and they'll take you for granted. And you guys, you know, I'm sure Coach keeps everybody level-headed, and that, of course, helps when you get to that point. You don't get rattled. So you started right away.
Well, we had the first preseason game, and I didn't start. And then, like...
Then you made a statement.
Yeah. And then after that, I started.
That scores all the goals. Oh, so you had a little history.
Yeah.
It's like his AAA feeder system. You knew that she had success and what she could accomplish. So I got to ask you, a couple of juniors and a sophomore, and it's obvious you get along. But when this successful freshman comes along, you guys at first looking at her like, well, we'll see what you got, and then she had it. I'll start with you.
Well, I actually grew up with Caitlin, and she's always been a fantastic player. So.
Oh, so you yeah, welcomed her with open arms. Yeah. How about the glue?
I would have to say the same. She plays. We play at the same club, and I'm just 1 year older than her on club, so our teams kind of combine practices and stuff. So I've always known that she's such a good player.
Yeah, me personally, I've never met Caitlin before, like starting at Sickles, so it was pretty cool. Like. For me, whenever new people come onto the team, like, I try to, you know, obviously welcome them and make sure they feel included. So it wasn't really like a, oh, you have to show up before we can, like, accept you. Like,
I,
you
know, like this. That's a great.
We accept you and then see what you got, you know what I
mean? It's a great response. And what'd she do? She turns around and kicks butt.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
yeah,
the University of Iowa.
Like her even more, right?
Yeah, kind of the University of Iowa, where I'm from. Caitlin Clark's a female basketball player. And Caitlin Clark just comes to make a statement. And you're a freshman making a statement. Bravo. Let's talk about... how you got into soccer? Your family?
Well, I went to this, like, Montessori school, and I started playing soccer there, and I really liked it. But then I went to, like, this place. I don't know. It was a practice with the older girls, and then I got a really bad headache, and then I quit. And then 4 years later, I decided to play again because my dad was the coach for, like, a rec team. And then I started getting back into it, and then I, like, loved it, so I kept playing and getting better.
Well, it's a good thing you kept playing, and let's do a shout out to your family.
I guess I'll give a shout out to my mom.
I guess you better give a shout out to mom and reckon her name.
I'll give a shout out to my mom, April, and my dad, Jeffrey, and I guess my sister back at home, Chloe.
Younger or older?
Younger.
Younger. Well, you're a great role model for her. All right, ladies. Well, I appreciate y'all coming down. I want to grab that mic there, Coach. You certainly have had a lot of success that's been unearthed in this conversation. And bravo, man.
Thank you.
Coach Hart, you got anything else to say to Coach Dominic? He's brought these young ladies across the pond, I guess, if you will, the bay.
Sure. A couple things. I was thinking of some things when you guys were all talking. First, I hear the shout-out to PHU. I'm going to make sure Randy Irick gets a copy of this tape. You remember when we had Randy on the program, Mike. And I love it. I love the attitude of taking on the winners. And the other thing, Mike, that I wanted to say is, you know, Patrick was talking
about... Make sure you get on your tape. Actually, what I want to say is that PHU is...
Jim, you're breaking up, but Dominique's got... Coach has got a response to that.
I just want to say that we have all the respect in the world for PHU. They're the program we want to be like. And my first year, we were winning at the half against them at PHU and lost 2-1.
Oh, my.
It's always been that kind of team that I follow. And I don't know if Randy knows this, but I follow him religiously because you want to be like the best.
Exactly. That's what you do.
So that's why we want to play them.
Well, I'll be following you guys closely. I appreciate you coming down. I appreciate the parents and your lovely wife for coming down today. And we'll get you down after you guys get to the state championship. How about that?
Right. Thank you.
That sound good? All right. Well, thank you very much, young ladies. Let's shift gears. Another guy that played his high school ball over in Tampa and at Hillsboro High. I'm not going to say what year it was, but he played at Florida State. He's a very successful attorney in the area, has dealt a lot with the NCAA. He's been on my shows several times, a handful of times. It's been a while. And he's Chris Griffin. He's kind enough to take time to join us. How are you, my man?
I'm good. Mike, can you hear me? My AirPods seem to have failed me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and proud, brother.
Good.
And I gave you a little bit of a teaser on what I wanted to discuss today, but let's do a quick intro. Your background, and you played at Florida State, and you played at Florida State, and then of course, Hillsborough High, first of all, where you're a track phenom, and
right.
Florida State, and let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, not sure I would call myself a phenom, but I was good enough. Played for Hillsborough, played at FSU the seasons of 72 to 75, and then went to law school, came back to Tampa, practiced law for 40 years. Now I'm a mediator, but during that time, as you and I have discussed many times, I served as a volunteer for 12 years on the NCAA Infractions Committee, where I learned all there was to learn about how the NCAA infraction system works and how the NCAA works in a larger sense. So I've been paying attention to everything that's going on in the college football and athletics world. So that's what I bring to the table.
So I got to get your perspective then on what's happening in the world of college football and you know, your thoughts. I was reading a piece in the New York Times and I picked in a piece in the New York Post and how much these kids are. I don't know why they'd even want to let people know, but it's probably for public knowledge. How much they're getting paid and the change in the entire landscape and the portal. What's your position as a fan and as a professional?
Well, I'm glad you asked it that way because I see things completely differently from the lens of a professional and the lens of a fan. As a fan, I couldn't be more unhappy with what's happened. I think about my days growing up and becoming a fan of college sports, and I remember the bowl games and how fantastic they were and how they culminated everybody's season. But that, as we all know, is a day that's gone by. As a professional, you and I have talked about this before, the Supreme Court a couple of years ago, Supreme Court of the United States in the Alston decision, told us that the restrictions that the NCAA has imposed on compensation to players violate the United States antitrust laws. And in a concurring decision, I don't mean to get too wonky here with the law, but one of the concurring decisions said that nothing that the NCAA attempts to do under the current state of the law can be upheld. So what you saw was a mad scramble by the schools and by everybody else involved to try to meet what the Supreme Court had said by allowing more opportunity for players to be paid. Of course, the first way they've done that is through the NIL collectives. And on the horizon is an NCAA proposal to allow the formation of a super conference of very rich schools who, under that proposal, will be allowed to pay their players directly as opposed to indirectly through the NIL collectives. That is going to create a lot of issues, issues under Title IX. If they pay the male players, they have to provide exactly the same benefits to female scholar athletes, as it should be. But that's going to put a lot of stress on the system. So you've got an intersection, Mike, of a perfect storm of you've got schools, fans, conferences, the NCAA, state legislatures, Congress, and the courts all at the same time trying to figure out what the rules are and what the rules should be. So if any of your listeners are unhappy, as I am, with where college sports have gone in the current world, I can guarantee you, you're not going to be any happier with the way it's going to look 5 years from now.
So as Kirk Herbstreit, and I respect his opinion, and he said this last year, he said it sickens him. Unfortunately, he said it's the wild, wild west, and no one knows how to get their arms around it. So you don't think that it's going to improve in any shape or form, and the rich will get richer, and they're basically watering down the college football landscape that you and I grew up with.
That is exactly correct. But again, as I said, I look at this through the lens of someone who spent 45 years in the law, And when I look at it from a legal perspective, I have to say to myself, the NCAA and universities are subject to the same rules as everyone else in this country. And I think what the Supreme Court done, much as I don't like it as a football fan, I think what the courts have done is completely in accord with the law. And those laws apply to everyone. And that's just the way it is. Now, let me just say this again. I don't want to put people to sleep with discussion of the law, but it's necessary. The one way out of this, which people have talked about, is to have college athletes declared employees of the universities. And if we do that, then the employees who are scholar athletes, student athletes, can unionize, and then they can reach a collective bargaining agreement with the schools. That's the way it's done in the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA. And if you have a collective bargaining agreement, you are exempt from the antitrust laws. But that's going to be, if it ever happens, it's going to be 10 years from now, because it's going to take an effort to first have the student athletes declared employees, and then for those student athletes to form a union. And that, if it ever happens, it's going to be a long time down the road. But I agree with your summary, Mike. In fact, I was thinking the other day, one of my greatest memories growing up was in my family's home. January 1st every year was when we sat around and took down the Christmas tree, but also watched the bowl games on television. And we all knew who was playing whom, and we all knew what players were going to be on the field. And there was this mythical national championship. We didn't have a playoff. And I sound like somebody who, you know, walked 5 miles to school back and forth uphill both ways. But that's the way it was, and that's the way I miss it. But it's not going to be that way ever again.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. We're perched out back today due to the early rain. I'm looking at Tropicana Field as we speak to Chris Griffin. He's a respected attorney in the Tampa area. He played at Hillsboro High School, Florida State University for the Seminoles. And we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery. And now I got to ask you, as a Florida State alum, proud one, you and Barry Smith, of course. What did you think of, unfortunately, the debacle that was the bowl game against LSU? And are both parties at fault in what took place? Because there's 25 million different schools of thought. And I want to get yours, because you're logical, even though you have emotional equity in Florida State, you're logical. So give me your perspective.
Well, just to correct, it was against LSU. LSU was the first game of the season, but be that as it may. You know, Mike, that's a great question.
Georgia.
Yeah, that's a great question to which I have no answer. It was, to use the term again, it was a perfect storm of unforeseen circumstances. But it began with something we could argue about all day, which is, did the College Football Playoff Committee make the correct decision by putting Alabama in and leaving FSU out? I think that took, to use the phrase, all of the air out of the FSU balloon. Then you had the run on players going into either the portal or opting out to go into the NFL draft. But I don't think anything like what happened on the field at the Orange Bowl would have happened had we not had a very, very strong argument to be in the playoff as we did. Because that's when this whole thing went sideways. And I don't think anybody had their head in the game, as we say. They didn't have their heart in the game. And the result was 63-3. So I don't think we're ever going to see a circumstance like that again, where you start with the what a lot of people call the snub by the playoff committee, and then it just went straight downhill from there. But what I will say, if there's a silver lining in any of this, I have met Mike Norvell on many occasions. I could not be more impressed with him as a leader of men, as a leader of the program. And if there's anybody who I know who could deal with that circumstance and come out of it in the best possible way, it's Mike Norvell. And I sincerely believe that. And that makes me secure for the future.
Well, I would concur with that just based on input from guys like you and Barry Smith, who Barry told me, you know, we had breakfast and I asked him about Norvell, and he said, Mike, if the Seminole Nation is patient, he's our guy. But I guess I'll go back to, you know, the snub that took place. But from the school president all the way down to the alumni clubs, anybody involved with FSU, there was this, as you said, all the wind was out of the balloon. But the bottom line is, I still, and I'm going to get attacked for this, but this is just how I feel because I don't have any emotional equity in it. I still feel that I would have circled the wagons for the Orange Bowl and made sure that FSU represented, so these people couldn't continue to pile on them. They didn't do themselves any good, and I just cannot stand these kids at the last second can opt out. I understand why. I understand all the reasons why, but there's no loyalty to the schools as there was in the past, and it's because of this financial charade that's taken place. So yeah, it was a bad, toxic formula for Florida State, and it didn't end well, and they're getting hammered all across NCAA football and the entire sports community.
Well, and here's what I would say to that, Mike. As you know, I'm old, so I use a lot of old bromides. You know, walk a mile in that person's shoes, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that I have no idea what those
kids
say.
I don't either. You know, that's just outside looking in.
Yeah. But you make a fair point. And going back to my earlier point, if there's anybody who could have mustered that energy, both emotional and physical, to get the kids to do what you just said they should have done, it's Mike Norvell. And if Mike Norvell couldn't get it done, I don't know anybody who could. And I'm talking about Saban, and I'm talking about any other coach, Harbaugh. It was just a perfect storm, and I don't think anybody had any control over it, including Mike Norvell. And if anybody could, it's Mike.
Well, first of all, I have no business with any comment because my University of Iowa Hawkeyes went to the Citrus Bowl against Tennessee and got pummeled 35-0. And that's the first time I've seen a team play with just the defense on the field and special teams, because there was absolutely no offense on the team, on the field. So I have no dog in the fight, and certainly shouldn't point any fingers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember one of my favorite players in the NFL is Christian McCaffrey, and I remember when he was at Stanford, and he wears the same jersey number I did, number 23, and I'm sure he wears it because I did, but that's a whole other story. I'm smiling as I say that.
I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris.
Michael Jordan and Christian McCaffrey both wore number 23. But anyway, you may recall that he opted out of the bowl game, whatever bowl game it was, his senior year, because he had such sterling prospects for the NFL. And playing running back and slot receiver, you're going to get it. You have a good chance of being injured. So this, you know, this thing didn't start just yesterday about the opting out for.
No, absolutely not. But in these large numbers.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But it all comes down to, like I said, what the law requires. And as you know, as we discussed just a minute ago, the NCAA is trying to stay ahead of the curve by coming up with this proposal for what I call the Super League. Whether Congress gets involved, and a lot of people are urging Congress to get involved so that there's nationwide rules as opposed to 50 separate state rules, But this is going to require strong action and creative thought by leaders in both the world of amateur sports and law. And unfortunately, nobody yet has stepped up in a way that will lead all these disparate groups to the right place so that the student athletes are treated fairly, both under the law and under what they should, how they should be treated as student athletes at universities, but also have their legal rights respected. And if those legal rules have to be changed, so be it. But that's a place for Congress to step in. And let's not get into politics, but Congress being able to do anything right now, and I'm not criticizing Republicans or Democrats specifically, but we all know how dysfunctional Congress is, and I don't see that group being able to do much of anything. Let's also remember that, as I try to point out many times, we're talking about 18 to 20-year-old kids, because we all remember what we were like when we were 18 to 21 years old, and looking back at that 50 years ago, I know that how I approach life, and I hate the fact that these kids who could be having the type of experience that I had with my friend Barry, who you've mentioned a couple of times, just playing football, just going to school, going to class, wearing the garnet and gold, or the orange and blue, as the case may be, and having that experience of being truly student athletes. We were students. We represented our school as athletes, and there was absolutely something magical about that. And you know how close I am with my teammates. I've been on the show with Barry and you, and with JT Thomas, and with Eddie McMillan. And Mike, we still get together every September, and it's like we haven't missed a day. Those bonds are stronger than any that I have in any other aspect of my life. And that I on a very players today, because they live in a system that doesn't provide that same opportunity. And I don't think they're going to have the same benefit of it 50 years from now.
Well, Chris, I'm up against the top of the hour. I respect your opinion. Thank you very much for coming on. We'll have to get together, have a bite, you and I, and a beverage, you and I, and Barry. And again, I thank you for your insight and bringing some clarity to the reality of what's taking place in college football. Have a great weekend, my man.
Thank you. Take care, man.
You know, he's right. You're getting Congress involved? Oh, my word. This thing is not going to be solved anytime soon, and even though we're going to a 12-team playoff next year, there'll be holes in that too.
Well, I mean, we saw it, of course, with Major League Baseball back in the 60s, back when they finally allowed free agency and allowing kind of players to go out and market themselves.
Who was that? Kurt Flood that led that charge?
Yeah, yep, exactly.
The old St. Louis Cardinal.
You know, we saw it then, we're seeing it now, and we got to see how it plays out.
All right, well, you and I will talk a little bit more about that later on. We'll talk about that smoker jersey some more, too. And then we'll talk about your gambling habit. We'll be back in a second hour on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.